Got it. Well, good evening, everyone. And we're here for our executive board meeting for the month of October. It's Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on the East Coast. We're all happy to be here, and we're going to have an open session followed by some closed session activities. And we'll come back into open session in case there's any motions that we passed during the closed session. So let me go ahead and call the roll. Vice President Randy Bauer.
Present.
Vice President of Finance Chuck Unruh.
Present.
Members at large, David Day.
Here.
Members at large, David Hayter.
Here.
All the way from Belgium, we might add. John Fernandez.
Here.
Fun Fong.
Here.
Kevin Pryor.
Here.
And our Executive Director, Carol Meyer.
Here.
Okay, first order of business is a motion to adopt the minutes from the September 2021. I move that the minutes from the September meeting be approved. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, that passes 8-0. And now we'll have an overview of our quarterly financial report from Chuck Unruh and our executive director. Chuck?
Yes, I've reviewed the most recent financials, and Carol has been kind enough to put together a presentation for us. Things are very solid. I'll turn it over to Carol for the presentation.
Well, this will look familiar, I hope. Very similar to what we went through last month. And I think for the benefit of anybody who might be listening to the recording who isn't a member of the board, I just want to recap some of the things that are new this year regarding our financials. So as part of our infrastructure upgrade, US Chess also changed accounting systems. And as part of our transition to better managing our books as a 501c3, we also updated our chart of accounts to reflect our operations. And for those who might be listening that are also delegates, you saw the past 2 years, a fairly substantial change in the way we budget things and what we call them. So all of that has now come together in a set of systems that actually talk pretty nicely to each other on the days that they're working really well. So new chart of accounts, new accounting system, and then we've also made some changes to how we do our accounting throughout the year. And that is that we're deferring membership revenue and other revenue that's received on and parsed out or earned over the time that it gets spent down. This is a very common practice and one that US Chess had been doing, but had largely been waiting till the end of the year to actually record those accruals and was showing cash largely throughout the year. So on the advice of our new CFO, we've changed the method. And so it makes some of our financials look a little bit upside down at this point in the year, but as the year goes on, we'll see things flip-flop and we'll explain more of that as we go through this presentation. With the changes we've made, it makes the year-over-year comparison difficult this year. Next year, we should be able to do that with ease, and that the new financial statements reflect some of the format changes, namely the chart of accounts that we've seen in prior years. So as we did last month, I pulled out some major categories and
are you showing something yet, Carol?
Oh my goodness, I am. Are you not?
I can see it.
Yeah, I see it.
Sure.
I see it.
And I should probably, yeah.
I got it.
Okay, that's probably better too, now that it's in slideshow mode. So you can see that, you know, things are pretty much on track, and the things that look a little bit off, payroll, for example, we're not spending as much as we budgeted. Part of that variance is due to The we have a position open that we haven't filled, so that's contributing to it. I also budgeted for a larger health insurance increase for our staff that did not get realized when we renewed in June, but we might be making some changes January 1 that could in fact eat up some of those positive side benefits that we're seeing in payroll. On the G&A, which isn't such a good representation, the biggest contributor to the variance is the IT expenses. We continue to do both a combination of maintenance. Maintenance continues to be expensive. And we've also done some additional development, namely the affiliate email blast system launched last month. And from what I understand, it's going quite well and is very, very popular. And some people actually discovered it before we made it publicly known and just started using it. So I think that's a good sign. Membership revenue looks a little off on the actuals. This is entirely due to the way we're accounting for membership revenue. You know, much of it is being deferred, and so there are no worries there. Events revenue was a little bit off. That will come up a little bit when we receive some funds for the invitationals that we haven't yet withdrawn from our endowment fund. And then our donations revenue is better than expected. I wanted to point out again to the board the deferred revenue and how much is actually sitting in our sitting on the financial statements. It's 1.3 million. So that's money that we have in hand that will be recognized as we go through the year, depending on the type of membership that is has been received. So some of the outliers, again, I'm not going to read this whole slide to you. You can see the good and the bad. We're under on our unrestricted donations, but we're ahead on restricted giving. You know, the IT I've already pointed out. You know, things I think are pretty much on target. And as many on the board have reminded me, the budget's a roadmap and we're never going to get it down to the penny or even maybe to the nearest thousand. But I feel pretty good about where we are across the board. This is new information to the board. We just got our hotel bill about a week and a half ago from the Crown Plaza in New Jersey after begging for them to send it to us. We actually have a refund coming to us. It's a small refund. It's less than $1,000, which will, you know, drop the bottom line on the US Open loss a little bit. And you can see the invitationals almost broke even. The caveat there is that we don't assign any of the TD costs to the invitationals. So that number would actually be higher if we recorded things that way. The governance meetings are expensive. That the numbers there do include any EB and Scholastic Council travel to the meeting. And of course, AV. We're AV heavy for the delegates meeting. And then the US Open itself did quite a bit better than it did in 2019 when we lost, you know, tens of thousands of dollars. I think it was a little over 80,000, but that number had everything mashed together. So, you know, the governance and the invitational losses as well. So that number probably wasn't quite as bad as it looked, but it certainly was much bigger than it was this year. In terms of membership revenue, on an earlier slide, you saw that we are not meeting our budget targets. Again, this is entirely due to the accrual accounting method we're now using, and it really is mostly a timing issue. I wanted to, again this month, show our actual cash received for membership sales in the first quarter of 2021-22. So for the month ending 8/31, we had received $465,000 in membership revenue compared to $205,000 last year when we were selling both memberships and memberships with magazines. So the premium regular dichotomy, which we no longer have beginning this fiscal year. And when you add the membership print magazine sales to the membership revenue, the number just swells to over $500,000. And that's just for 3 months of the fiscal year. And so for anybody who is concerned about the earlier slide showing that we were off budget on membership, this is, I would argue, the more important slide to be paying attention to, because this is cash in hand. And I think that, I guess this is my last slide, sorry there. So just very quickly on the balance sheet, our assets continue to grow. We're up almost 5% since the end of the last fiscal year, so 3 months ago. The deferred memberships for non-life members is 934,000 dollars, and we still have a PPP loan on the book, which I expect we'll see forgiveness for in the third, maybe early fourth quarter of this year. We just have to apply for forgiveness, and it takes as long as 90 days, but there's no reason that this one won't be forgiven, just as the prior one was. And with that, I will stop and field any questions you might have.
Carol, you mean third quarter, our fiscal, not calendar, correct?
Correct.
So, Carol, are you saying that our losses from the U.S. Open and governance is approximately 50,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Carol, does that include proportioning staff payrolls, or is that net of payrolls?
So I don't think any staff payroll was assigned to the Open, only contract staff.
Okay.
And
so yeah, true cost is higher.
I know this is probably obvious, but when we talk about loss in governance, it's not really a loss, it's an expense. There is no revenue in governance. I mean, it costs money to run an organization. I for one have no problem that the loss of governance is an expense.
I agree with you.
Agreed.
And I made that case last year too, or last year we had a physical US Open. It wasn't an $80,000 loss to the tournament.
Carol, when it comes to the IT expense, I mean, IT is always tough to predict, but any idea of how long the project is expected to continue?
So we're going to have high maintenance costs or moderate maintenance costs for as long as we're in this system. And, you know, I think we got
in the old system.
Well, right now we're maintaining two systems. Mm-hmm. So we have that added layer of expense. We got spoiled, right? We were not being charged the true cost of running a homegrown system. In part, it was a labor of love for somebody who is working on it. You know, Mike Nolan provided, right, I think, a lot of gratis to us. And so now this is, dare I say, a wake-up call. Our systems are complex. We've taken advantage of open source code that others have paid for. But the simple fact is that there is still a large bit of customization necessary to run our organization the way we need to run it. And anytime you customize base code, and then you have an update to your base code, stuff breaks. And so we are in the tail end of the Drupal side of our system being upgraded. So that's the website framework we now use. It's the content management system. We've just transitioned, or we're in the process of transitioning to Drupal 8. And our membership database is built in a open source platform called Civi CRM, and Civi and Drupal play very well together. But those integrations, every single one of them has to be checked. And those that are customized are the things that are going to break when you do the upgrade. So that is being tested right now, and it's adding hours to our bill, although the September bill was under $30,000. So that's a good place for us to be. And the prior month's bill, I believe, had 3 months worth of hosting and email servicing on the bill. We pay on a quarterly basis for that part. So every 3 months, the bill goes up. And so I wish I had an end date. As the board knows, we're looking at the next wave of development to be the rating server, which is... that in and of itself is our nerve center. And, we got to get that right. Fortunately, we've got the experts on the team who are going to help us get it right. And, people like Mark Glickman, who wrote the paper on the rating system, and Mike Nolan, who developed the rating system. And we programmed the rating system. We're trying to get Tom Doan on board with the working group as well, who did the prior programming. So we've got a lot of brain power that we think can help us identify all the technical requirements and then find a vendor who can execute.
Now, I remember you saying in New Jersey that Boyd was actually doing a double/triple duty role of being project manager de facto. Is that still the case?
Yeah, it is. And he and I had a conversation this week about the role that he might play moving forward. We also have somebody on the board who has some technical project management experience who's willing to help with our working group. Thank you, John. and so I think we're in pretty good hands. We do need to identify, I think, one more person who's more of a developer, a coding person to add to this working group, because at some point we're going to be transitioning from these are the functional requirements that this system has to develop to, all right, what are the right what's the right code base that this should be programmed in so it works well with the rest of our system. And it looks like that's probably MySQL, and we're going to need somebody to help steer us down that path. That is way outside my wheelhouse of expertise.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Eventually we're going to have somebody, we're going to pay for that assistance, or we're going to have to hire somebody with that technical expertise.
I agree.
I mean, okay. I mean, when we start thinking about those places, and Carol and I have had this conversation, that's one of the places. Grant management is definitely an area that we're going to have to think about how we go forward. And that's part of that's programmatic. Part of that's just you know, understanding rules and regulations, both accounting and some of the fiduciary stuff. So, you know, I think as we as a board, and I'm sure there'll be a time when we get deeper into that, but those are, I have to think about some of those centers going forward.
Any other questions or discussion about budget for the quarterly finances?
Just one more, just around the magazine. I don't know, as far as discussions in the past, you know, are we seeing the magazine as something that maybe gets changed over time, maybe becomes more of an e-based document and not so intensive in the publishing, old school publishing approach?
Yeah, so there's been, in my 4 years, there's been lots of discussion about the magazines and what the best path forward is for, you know, for both of them. I think, you know, they serve maybe different purposes, not just youth versus adult. But for me, the, you know, Chess Life, while it once may have been a newsstand product that people went out to buy, to me, it's the membership magazine of US Chess, and it focuses on American chess. And like so many other membership organizations, you know, whether it's AARP or AAA, or, you know, I'm a member of SHRM, the Human Resources Management Society. There's a membership magazine, and there's something in it every month for everybody. And, you know, there's deep game analysis. There's more fluff pieces, you know, like the people of chess, to governance. I mean, it is our magazine, and it, and so I think there's a lot of value in that. The staff and I earlier this year had a conversation about, you know, what a Chess Life Kids pivot might look like, but no decisions were made. And so we constantly look at that. And, you know, I think there are good arguments on both sides for a path forward. But I think right now the magazine seems to be having a little bit of a renaissance, certainly Chess Life. And, you know, John Hartman's doing a very good job as editor and bringing, I think, a lot more maybe chess content in that maybe we hadn't seen as much of in the more recent past. So,
I just look at that number, and it's like, that's a pretty big number. And
yeah,
I know,
yeah,
just from a state comparison, it's, of course, it's no real comparison, but we did move to all online. We kept the basic magazine, but we made it available online. Of course, there was an absolute firestorm, you know, when we did that. One person wrote back and said that we'd never be able to get our hands on their copies because they intended to be buried with them. So I know the passion is there. I know.
Well, I think maybe this is something to put on the board's agenda when we have a strategic discussion, because I think that's really, I think it really is a strategic conversation.
Yeah. And, you know, as someone who's been on this board off and on for over, you know, going on 2 decades, we've had this conversation, you know, continuously. And it's evolved a little bit, and I think it's going to continue to evolve, but it is a strategic issue for us to figure out exactly where that, and, you know, we have had very strong opinions on both sides of this in terms of the magazine, the physical magazine, because everybody agrees the content's going to be produced and hosted somewhere or somewheres, and how we figure out that balance is very much a strategic issue.
Right. I'm going to pull up some numbers just really quickly. In terms of budget, I budgeted $90,000 for magazine sales to members. It was loosely based on the premium regular breakdown. And year to date, so this is through yesterday, we have already sold $62,000 worth of memberships. So we are very, or magazines to members, and that doesn't account for the run on premium memberships that we had at the end of our fiscal year when we were changing the membership model. So something has reignited interest in the magazine, and you know, I think we get through this year, the better part of the year, and maybe look at this again. But my sense, at least, and the numbers seem to suggest that people right now are liking what they see in Chess Life in particular.
Yeah, that's 4.5 months. So
yeah, and it might be the same phenomenon we're seeing with some of the kids. They're rather, you know, a lot of kids are wanting to read books because they're tired of looking at the damn computer all the time now. And so it could be the same with, you know, with our magazine, because at the last tournament that I ran, I had people, you know, come up to me and as part of their membership, you know, pay the extra fee for the magazine. So that was encouraging, and specifically asking for it.
Hey, so. Hey, Carol, one of the things that you might want to separate out, if it's possible, and I don't even know if it is, if you separate one affiliate submissions out of that and then look at the take rate of the premium memberships, I think you'll get, that's a data point that's worth doing.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I'm interested, as the scholastic year picks up, what happens to our Chess Life for Kids?
Mm-hmm.
See how many take the premium.
Yeah, membership has continued to be strong. You know, this is usually the time of year when we start to see membership creep up. We had a very strong summer with membership sales. And now that the school year has started, we are selling more youth memberships and vouchers are being purchased as well. So I think we have reason to be cautiously optimistic.
Very much so. I'd like to add to Carol's report on a note about the investing. We saw strong cash flows in our investing, dividend wise, according to our accountants, our CFO. The contribution provided by investing for the quarter was $37,290.63 worth of dividends. So those dividends aren't going away. We'll see them second quarter, third, fourth. Just things are, we're very, very much in the healthcare and conservative side of investing, but also we're with the high dividend stocks, and those dividends are a steady cash flow stream to the organization.
Okay. Thanks, Carol. Thanks, Chuck, for your reports and analysis. Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda. We have in our EB packets the final committee rosters. So everybody should be able to see those. I think they start on like page 4.
Wow.
And the names that are in red were names that were, you know, recently added at the, you know, request of the at the committee member, I mean, at the request of the committee chairs. As the EB members who serve as liaisons to various committees look at this, are there any final changes anyone is aware of? And Carol, this is the most current version of the one that's online right now. Is that right?
It. I don't know if they're completely in sync, but this is the most up-to-date version.
Okay. Okay, hearing no changes, I move that the executive board approve the final committee rosters for the executive board appointed committees as presented to the EB this evening on 12 October. All those in favor? No, I'm sorry, Fun, you had something?
I did have a question. Kevin, did you want to make a change in states and affiliates? We're not hearing you, Kevin.
No, we're leaving it as it is. I just wanted to make sure I understood what the red was.
Okay, all right.
Any further discussion? Okay, so I ask the executive board to move to approve the final committee rosters as presented to us this evening on 12 October. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. I have 7 with 1 abstention, Carol, because David's mute. Okay, moving on to the, and so this will get posted on the website before the end of the week. Is that right, Carol?
That's correct.
Okay. Moving on now to our executive board meeting schedule for the next few weeks and months. Our next online meeting will be Tuesday, November 9th. And then our next in-person meeting is in Orlando at the K-12 grades on Saturday and Sunday, December 4th and 5th. I recommend EB members aim to arrive afternoon, early evening on Friday, the 3rd. And those of you that are present, you know, we'll go out to dinner together or you know, play blitz at the bar or something like we do. And then I also recommend that no one plan to depart the hotel before noon on Sunday. So if we have noon as a time to leave the hotel on Sunday, you're probably gonna need to allow, you know, 2 to 3 hours, get to the airport, get checked in, you know, have your CPAP machine expected by the guards like David did, but whatever, you know, so. Seriously, I would, you know, don't plan to leave the hotel before noon on Sunday. And then people can fly out on Sunday afternoon that are, or Monday morning, like some of us are.
Hey, Mike, just yeah. To let you know, cause I know I'm the one that's on the way to the FIDE meeting directly from this meeting. My mm-hmm. flight does not leave until 8 PM. So I'm good.
Okay. And I attended the FIDE Rules Commission meeting today, and our chair also talked about a potential Rules Committee meeting in Dubai, because our chair is actually going to be the chief arbiter for the World Championship. And then in, you know, as we get back to our second, you know, Tuesday meetings in January, February, and March, February will be sometime between mid-February and mid-March, and Carol's going to put some dates out on a doodle poll for us. But the plan is we'll meet in Atlanta in the February-March timeframe. We've got 2 executive board members in that general area. Fun can give us a tour of the COVID ward at the hospital or something. But but seriously, we'll all be in. You know, we can all get to Atlanta. It's a hub. It's easy to fly in and out of. For those of us that want to fly.
It's a short flight from Douglasville to Atlanta. So I
think I didn't think either Fun or Dave were going to be flying.
And then after that, our next in-person meeting would be at the US Open itself. There's some more meeting topics we'll discuss in a few moments. But that's just a preview of the coming attractions on our executive board schedule. Carol, you can go ahead and stop the recording now. So we'll go to. Okay, well, welcome back. The executive board just finished our session and closed. There are no motions that we need to bring forth out of the closed session to pass in open session. So I thank our executive director and all of the board members for being part of this discussion tonight. We had a very fruitful discussion. I asked the board members that after we terminate the meeting. All board members stay online for one moment after we end the session. So this is Mike Hoffmeyer, and on behalf of the entire executive board, I hope you enjoy taking a look at what we talked about tonight, and we'll do this again in November. So I need executive board members just to hang on. Go ahead and terminate the